The Wire.
Liz Truss has resigned as UK Prime Minister after just 6 weeks following her failed economic policy. The Conservative Party, which holds a big majority in Parliament, will now elect a new leader by October 28. I spoke to Executive Director of the New Zealand Initiative, a public policy think tank in Ponaki, Oliver Hartwich, about Truss's 45 tumultuous days as Prime Minister. Here is that interview. Can you give us a bit of an overview of Liz Truss's time as Prime Minister and what ultimately led to her resignation?
Well, Liz Truss had a brief but tumultuous time as British Prime Minister. It only lasted about 45 days, but it was one of the most extraordinary episodes in recent British politics. And that says something because there have been many political troubles, of course, for Britain since the Brexit vote. She became Prime Minister, rather, just a few days before the monarch passed away, and that dominated her first couple of weeks in the job. And after that, her Chancellor of the Exchequer, so basically her Finance Minister, presented a so-called mini-budget. And that was basically a collection of tax cuts, but they were unfunded, and they were increasing Britain's fiscal hole to about 8% of GDP. And that's when markets rebelled, when the International Monetary Fund told Britain that they can't do that. That's when pound sterling collapsed in markets. That's when the Bank of England had to intervene, and Britain was facing an almighty financial and economic catastrophe. So she had to basically revise all of these policies. She fired her chancellor for basically implementing her own policies, and then just a few days later also lost her Home Secretary over a disagreement on immigration policy. And then she tried to bully her own party into a vote in the House of Commons, and that was really when things got too much, even for her most ardent supporters, and she had to resign. So it was an extraordinary time for the Conservative Party, and now the party is really looking at the shambles of their now 12 years in government. And if an election were held tomorrow, they could be reduced to, I've seen one opinion poll saying it could just be a single Conservative MP with a Labour majority of more than 500 MPs.
Truss resisted resigning up until even yesterday after her failed economic policy. So what might have gone on behind the scenes between so soon ago when she was defending herself and now to ultimately drive her out?
Well, I think it became apparent that there was absolutely no support for her left, especially after that disastrous vote in the House of Commons. So initially she wanted to make this a vote of confidence in her own policies and in her person. And that's when Tory MPs rebelled. They didn't want to support it that way. Then they were bullied by the Chief Whip. The Chief Whip then was seen actually walking out of the scene in the Commons saying, oh, I'll quit and I'm not having to do anything with that anymore, and then unresigned just a couple of hours later. So the scenes in the House of Commons were absolutely shambolic, and I saw one interview with a senior Tory backbench MP saying that in his 17 years in the House of Commons, he'd never seen anything like it, and he was ashamed to be part of that parliamentary faction. So back last night, I think it was absolutely clear that they couldn't go on that way. I saw one quote from an unnamed Tory backbench MP who was also a medical doctor saying if that happened to a patient of his, he would probably advise the relatives it's a matter of hours, not days. And when I read that comment, I thought, okay, the writing's on the wall and she will be forced to resign. And that's what she did then just a few hours later. The really interesting question is how the party will go on, because obviously they couldn't have a dragged out election for the next leader as they had over the British summer this year. So they're trying to compress this now into just a week. So by Monday, the candidates for the leadership have to present 100 signatures of their parliamentary colleagues. There will be a vote in the parliamentary faction. The final two candidates would be put to a ballot of the membership unless the runner-up withdraws from the contest, in which case we would see some kind of coronation with a new prime minister installed by Friday next week.
What is the UK's history of short prime minister terms in the UK? Is Truss the shortest ever, and does anyone even come close?
Yes, I had to look that up, actually. I wasn't quite sure how bad it is, but no, she is definitely the shortest-serving prime minister by quite a mile. You have to go back into the early 19th century to find a prime minister who was at a job for, I think it was just about 3 months at the time. But typically they last a little bit longer. I mean, the longest serving British prime minister was Walpole, also 19th century, for 20 years. The most recent prime ministers, of course, only served just a few years. I mean, Theresa May, Boris Johnson didn't last long. David Cameron had 6 years. Before him, Gordon Brown, I think, had, from memory, about four or so, or maybe three or four. And then Tony Blair, of course, from 1997 to, I think it was 2006 when he passed on to Gordon Brown. So it's a recent phenomenon that these prime ministerships are getting shorter again, but in absolute terms, she's not the shortest by quite. She is the shortest because you have to really go back into the early 19th century to find something comparable.
Now that Truss has resigned, could you speak to who we might see run for the position? Could Boris potentially be back?
Well, under normal circumstances, you would say, of course not, because he still has an investigation hanging over his head from the party affair that led to his resignation. He might even lose his parliamentary seat and be forced into a by-election, which he probably wouldn't win. So under normal circumstances, you would say Boris Johnson has no chance of regaining his old job. But then again, these are not normal circumstances in Britain, and everything is possible. So he is in the run. He might have the support of enough of his parliamentary colleagues to be one of the candidates on Monday. The other candidate, of course, is Rishi Sunak, the former chancellor. So he kept himself really quiet. He was a contestant, of course, in the contest to replace Boris Johnson over the summer, and he didn't get it back then. And we haven't actually heard much from Rishi Sunak since. He had warned publicly, of course, before or during the leadership contest that Liz Truss's economic policies would fail, and he was proven right. So he would probably secure the nomination of at least 100 of his colleagues again. And then there are a few odd ones out. There might be Penny Mordaunt, who some commentators think might have another crack at it. Then there is Jeremy Hunt, who was just named Chancellor of the Exchequer, and maybe even Grant Chaps. But I think then it becomes really speculative. I think none of them is likely to get 100 signatures. But then again, the British political scene is so unpredictable these days. Almost anything is possible, regardless of who they pick now as leader. The next election is almost certainly going Labour's way, and Britain will get a change of government after, 14 years of Conservative government.
That was Dr. Oliver Hartwich on Liz Truss's resignation. I'll be back after this short break. Keep it on the beat.